Well, yesterday I spent much of the day in airports. There were, as you probably are aware, lots of cancellations, and that led to lots of angry people. So I had a lot of time to think, is my point. Fortunately, I had neither a canceled flight nor even a delayed flight. And I was thinking about what I was going to talk about this Sunday, and the theme I kept coming back to was, you know, we need to ask, where is God in our life? Where is the presence of God? Where do we seek and find God in our lives? And then, as God often does, there is usually, or not usually, but sometimes, as you're thinking about something like this, a real-life situation puts you to the test. And so, as I was flying from Baltimore to St. Louis, I'm sitting in the plane, and it was very full. All the planes are very full these days. And there was a baby, and the baby cried, and cried, and cried. I think the baby cried for almost the entire flight. And it struck me that maybe what I needed to think about was, where is God in this situation? Now, you can ask that question in a number of ways. You can say to yourself, where is God in this situation? God, make this baby stop crying. But you can ask it in another way, too. And thanks be to God, there was a little bit of grace, because I thought, if this is annoying me, how uncomfortable a situation is this for the mother of this child? She obviously does not want the baby to be crying through the whole flight, not only for the sake of everybody else, but for her own sake. And so I prayed. I took this little moment and I said, God, let this mother recognize that she's a good mom. And she's trying her best with this little child. Maybe she is particularly tired. I don't know if they were coming back from a trip to visit family or they were going to visit family or whatever, but God, help her to be a good mom. Help her to recognize that her child, even in moments where he is screaming or she is screaming, is still an unbelievable gift from God. Where is God in your life? Now, the Magi, we don't know a lot about them, and you can talk about all kinds of theories, but that's not really even the important thing to me. They knew they should look, because there was something in the sky that told them there was a miraculous event. And so they traveled, and they sought. Now, it wasn't clear. They had to stop and ask for directions. They had to figure out where the King of the Jews was in fact to be born. But they continued to search. And they were attentive to something deeper and bigger than themselves, even at the very end, when they are told, they're warned to go a different way, not to go back to Herod, whose intentions are disingenuous. Where is God in your life? How do you search for God? That really, to me, is the ultimate question of our lives. And it's hard. It's not easy. We live in a world, I think, where both of these statements are true. I think everyone is searching for God. Sometimes, though, I think there are people that don't realize it. And so they think that something else in their life, when they find it, is God when it isn't. And then they struggle because that fails to satisfy. It's not the fulfilling relationship with God in their lives. What are you going to do this year to open your heart a little bit more to allow God to come in? You know, last year at this time, I mentioned a great suggestion. I'd mention it again because they're doing it again. The Bible in a Year podcast. It's about 20 to 30 minutes each day, where at the end of it, you will have heard the entire scriptures, all of it, the whole Bible. And then there's a little commentary each day, which is quite nice. And it's a podcast, so you can listen to it. You can go and see it on YouTube at the Ascension. This is not a commercial, by the way. But I found it very helpful. Now, I'm also going to say that I'm only on day 315. Now, I should be, of course, done, but I'm not, and that's okay. It's not time dependent, so you can start any time. But I have found it really helpful because there are things that have come to my attention in hearing the Word of God, which I don't normally do. I mean, I listen to it, I read it, and so forth, but I don't listen to it read out loud. That's been very grace-filled. Maybe this year it is just simply going to the bishop's website and looking at the daily Mass readings and seeing where is God in this and what is God asking of me and what does God want me to hear because of these readings. Maybe it's a commitment to do just a devotional prayer, maybe praying the rosary, or coming and finding a place where you can be in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament for a little bit. Maybe it's a commitment to celebrate the sacraments on a more regular basis, not just on Sundays, but maybe another day of the week. Maybe it is a time to think about, I'm going to make confession a more regular part of my life. We are all broken. We have all sinned. It is wonderful that God continues to pour out mercy when we sincerely ask Him to forgive us. Maybe in our lives this day, we're going to make it a pledge to pray for certain individuals in our life. Certainly the people we love and care for, our parents, friends, children, relatives. But maybe we'll also make a promise this year to pray for people that we don't like so much. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, to pray for our persecutors. Maybe there's that person at work that you just don't get along with very well. Maybe it would be a better relationship if you could take a little bit of time to pray for them. Maybe there is someone that you know, not personally perhaps, but by reputation in the world, and you say to yourself, oh, I don't want to pray for them, but maybe that's exactly what God is calling you to do. Maybe there's a person in school, maybe there is a person in your neighborhood. Whatever it is, take a moment to ask God to give you the grace to pray. And maybe one of the things that would be quite helpful is to think about the apostles. We think that prayer is this natural, easy thing that just comes to us. But what did the disciples say to Jesus? Teach us to pray. Maybe that's the way we begin every prayer. Lord, I do not know how to pray, so please teach me how to pray. Maybe it's a case of finding silence in our lives to see if we can be more fine-tuned in finding God in the events of the world. For as we heard in the first reading, this is a world where darkness covers the earth. We don't need to look very far to see the struggles and the difficulties that are so present in our world. There is this never-ending pandemic which is driving everyone crazy. The New York Times just had an article about how customer service people are just getting battered on every turn because people are so angry that they don't get what they want, even if it's unrealistic what they are asking. We find ourselves in our world with less patience and more frustration and deeper anger. We look around at our world and there's more violence and there seems to be more hatred and there seems to be more difficulty everywhere we look. Natural disasters seem to be occurring at a much more rapid pace. Just a couple of days ago, there was this rapid fire that destroyed over 1,000 homes in the Boulder, Colorado area. How do we maintain peace in the midst of all of these difficulties? How do we know what it is that God wants us to do? We imitate the Magi. We bring whatever gifts we have been given, knowing that if God has given them to us, however we choose to give them back, as long as it is in right order and right way, God will be pleased. We bring what we can. And in the midst of that, we see the tremendous glory that the first reading promises to those who seek the Lord. And so make the pledge this year to seek the Lord wherever he may be found. And in so doing, to discover how the gifts that you have been given in life are perfectly suitable to give back to the Lord Jesus.